Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
I have to start off this podcast with the recognition of Benjamin Bernanke's Nobel Prize Award for Economics. This guy should have received the Nobel Prize for either lying or incompetence instead. First, he tried to assure consumers that the subprime housing market problems were contained and would not affect the overall real estate market. Then, when that prediction went bad, he tried to convince everyone that the fall in the National Home Price Index would not spill over to the overall economy and cause a recession. Well, he was correct on that prediction. It didn't just cause any normal recession. It led to a global depression and equity market wipeout. But that wasn't nearly the worst of it all. Bernanke then perfected the practice of quantitative easing in order to save the banking system instead of helping consumers. This led to a permanent monetization of all such debt, mortgage-backed securities, treasuries, which fed directly into the destruction of the middle class and massive instability in virtually all markets. But the cherry on top of this poop sundae was that Bernanke had the audacity to then write a book about the whole disaster and titled it The Courage to Act. I've renamed his effort The Courage to Counterfeit. I mean, after all, how much bravery does one really need to hit some keystrokes and create bank reserves, which is high-powered money? What bravery, Ben? What Bernanke ended up doing was effectively destroying the operation of free markets and setting the table for the intractable inflation that we experienced post-COVID. For that, he deserves a new award to be created, whatever the opposite is of the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Turning to the absolutely pathetic to very, very sad, Kathy Wood, founder of ARK ETFs, penned an open letter. I mean, one of these days, I got to write an open letter to the Fed begging for it to stop hiking rates. Perhaps this is because her flagship fund, the ARK Innovation ETF, is down 62%. 62% this year. Yes, since January to October 12th, she has lost her investors 62%. In her note, her magnum opus, she bemoaned the fact that the Fed's decision to hike rates by 75 basis points last month was unanimous because inflation and employment are lagging economic indicators. Well, she's correct on that. Inflation and employment are lagging. So the Fed is now making a huge mistake in monetary policy. Perhaps they are. And this is what she wrote, quote, unanimous? Question mark. Really? Question mark. Could it be that the unprecedented 13-fold increase in interest rates during the last 6 months, likely 16-fold come November 2nd, has shocked not just the U.S., but the world and raised the risks of a deflationary bust? Close quote. But Miss Wood, aren't you a hypocrite? Were you complaining, like I was, about the lagging indicators of inflation when the Fed was still at 0% and buying $120 billion a month of bonds? Even through 2021, were you worried that Powell was buying mortgage-backed securities? Were you complaining and writing open letters that he was propping up the home market even though prices were up 40% in the past 24 months? No, you were not, because it was helping to boost the prices of your companies held in ARK that need to issue debt at 0% interest rates to stay alive. You were claiming back then inflation would fall imminently. Now, I mention this not to embarrass her. Not my place to point out people's mistakes. I make mistakes too. But to point out that the deep state of Wall Street is starting to panic because not only are their stocks getting pummeled, but now the underlying businesses that they represent are starting to swirl down the drain. Well, guess what, Kathy, and the growing numbers of Wall Street sycophants who are kneeling before Jerome Powell and begging for a pivot. The Fed isn't going to stop hiking rates until at least Q1 of next year. So there's most likely another 125 to 150 basis points coming your way, like it or not. And it's for these three primary reasons. Number one, first, the job market. Initial jobless claims have been quiescent, and the non-farm payroll reports have been relatively strong, but not because of a very strong economy. I mean, the Fed's looking at strong employment data and reacting to that, but not looking at what's causing the initial jobless claims to be quiescent. September job growth registered 263,000 net new employees, and the unemployment rate dropped to 3.5%, matching a 50-year low that was found just prior to the pandemic. In fact, private payrolls increased to 288,000 from 275,000 in August, so it's accelerating. However, again, it's not that the economic growth is so robust. It's that you can't fire people who have not been hired in the first place. In fact, there's 1.2 million people, shortfall in people, in employment levels, relative to pre-pandemic levels in the in-person services sectors. There are currently 158 million people employed in America. That is approximately the same number that were employed in the month prior to the pandemic. In addition, the labor force participation rate is one percentage point lower in August than it was in February of 2020. For comparison's sake, leading up to the Great Recession, the U.S. economy added 6 million employees between 2005 to 2007, and they were letting off people by the millions. But we haven't hired anybody since the pandemic, so who are you going to fire? Once the real estate market and economy collapsed, there were millions of excess employees that needed to be cut from the payrolls back in 2008 and 9. That situation just doesn't exist today. The second reason, after getting nearly every economic prediction backwards, the Fed now must adhere to its stated goal of bringing the Fed funds rate into restrictive territory, which they have emphatically stated is around the 4.5% level in early 2023. After claiming inflation was transitory and then promptly causing it to reach an all-time high of 20% when measured accurately, or 40-year high the way they measure it, they need to try now and salvage a shred of credibility by actually achieving that 4.5% Fed funds rate, which is completely under their control. I mean, there's no reason why they can't get there. They said they were going to get there. They have completely lost all credibility. And if they don't get there, they'll lose whatever credibility they have left, which is, by the way, zero with me. But some people still believe everything that comes from the Fed's mouths. The third is inflation. Core inflation rose 4.9% from a year ago in the August period, and 0.6% on a monthly basis, according to the Personal Consumption Expenditure Price Index, which is the Fed's preferred metric for inflation because it takes out everything that actually goes up. For comparison, the month-over-month advance was just 0.0% in July. So, you know, 0.0% in July goes to 0.6% in August. The year-over-year measurement for core PCEPI was 4.7% in the prior month. In other words, inflation pressures are accelerating according to the Fed's favorite measurement. The owner's equivalent rent component comprises 40% of core CPI. We'll get more data on this metric tomorrow. I don't have it now. I'll know tomorrow morning, like you will. But rents are still rising, and that means while the 40-year high rate of inflation should indeed be falling slightly in the near future, it will be very, very, very slow to abate anywhere near towards 2%. Today's hotter than predicted producer price index data, up 8.5% year over year, the estimate was 8.4%, and rising 0.4% month over month, the estimate was 0.2%, underscores the point that the Fed pivot is still months away. And even when they do pivot, it's not going to be your ordinary pivot. Here's the main takeaway. Even when the economic stress becomes so dire that the that the Fed and Powell and company are forced to stop hiking rates, the Fed will be extremely reticent to cut rates back to ZERP and in re-engage in QE. Powell is trying to disabuse the market of the Fed put notion because it has proven to engender runaway inflation in asset prices, which leads to systemic and massive destabilization in the economy and significantly harms the middle and lower classes. They don't want to do that anymore, at least not now. I'm sure they'll display their recidivism once the credit markets freeze, and that's coming to a theater near you shortly. Pento Portfolio Strategies is ready for phase two of the meltdown, which will feature an acute earnings and economic recession. Turn off CNBS and stay tuned right here.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you are not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.